But the topic I want to discuss is the question of Israeli civil courts in our code. So, the Makaras look longer than the...
Sure.
Okay, we may have to... we're going to fit?
Maybe.
Maybe
expanding room.
Jack.
Maybe you should switch. Well, I mean, I'm fine. Okay. So, the Makaras look long. They're not really as long as they look. If you'll notice, the like primary sources basically end at number 13, which is about a page in. And after that, I gave you significant portions of different articles so that you can read some of the material yourself. We'll be drawing lines out of it. We're not reading all of it. But I figured it's worth having it on the page. Okay. So, first, a little bit of background here. The Isser Erkaot refers to the Gemara's prohibition to bring a court case before Erkaot shel Akum, before non-Jewish courts. And that's the Gemara in Source 1. The Gemara, it appears in several places in Shas, but I put the one from Gittin Pechet, says, Abaye Ashkeche l'Rav Yosef d'Yosef v'ka ma'asa gite. So Abaye saw that Rav Yosef was forcing people to give gittin. So Amar Leva, Anan had Yotos, Anan, how can you do that? We don't have smicha. Smicha ended in the middle of the Tanakh period. So at this point, they are not musmachim, and much of the formal powers of Beis Din depend on the dayanim being mumchim, being people who have smicha ish mi pish from Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't. We function as judges, and we'll see in a moment through the mechanism of shlichusayu. That we're the messengers of the original Beis Din, whatever exactly that means, which is a topic for another time, is that Daraisa, Darabanan, right? The Nesivos, the first Nesivos in Choshen Mishpat, thinks it's Darabanan. From the many of the Rishonim, it seems like it's Daraisa, some passages in Balei Tosfos and the Ran, the Rashba. But how can you employ the full powers of Beis Din and force them to give a get if you don't have smicha? Vitanya, Tarfon Omer, Komakum Ata Motse, Agario, Shovdi Chavim, Afal Pisha Dineim, Gedine Yisrael, Yet Rashai Lizaki Klohem, Shneamar, Veila Mishpatim, Asher Tasim, Lifnehem, Velo Livne, Ovdi Kochavim, and Davaracher, Lifnehem, Velo Livne Hediotos, but we have a Brisa which says that whenever you have a non Jewish court, even if they choose to judge based on the Jewish law, which parenthetically, according to the Ramah, they should, right? According to the Ramah, building on the position of the Ramban in the 33rd parak of Breishas, cited in the Kesef Mishnah, in Parak Tes, Halacha Yadalad, in Hilchos Melachim, the laws of Dinim that Goyim are chayev to carry out means that they actually have to set up parallel laws to the Tehoshen Mishpat. And according to the Ramah, in his Chuvos and Chuva Yod, that court system actually has to look identical to the Jewish court systems. According to the Ramah, this is actually what we would expect from a Beis Din which is following, a non-Jewish Beis Din, so to speak, which is following halacha. According to other poskim, not the case. But even if they were to rule based on Jewish law, you couldn't go to a non-Jewish court.
Even within the Shiva Mitzvot Bnei Noach.
Right, even if they're obligated through Shiva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, according to the Ramah, they are, to judge Al-Pi Jewish law. Still, if they're judging Al-Pi Jewish law, you still can't go to them. Why? Because we darshan lifnehem, that these are the laws we put in front of them, meaning the Jewish judges with smicha, and not non-Jewish judges. Davar acher, the second prohibition we derive from that same word of lifnehem, is v'lo lifnei hedyotos, not from courts which have hedyotos, meaning members of the Beis Din which do not have smicha. Right? Do not have smicha yish mi piish, which, after the cessation of smicha, is everybody. So how can you use the powers of Beis Din, meaning the powers to force someone to give a get, if we don't have the formal powers of Beis Din? So he answers, Amar Leih Anan Shlichusayu Kavdin. And as I said, he said, it's not a problem. We do derive some of our power from the original Beis Din through a mechanism of Shlichus. Like I said, Deraisa, Derabanan, real Shlichus, not Shlichus, Machlokis, Rishon, Menachronim, but not for now. So that's the Isser Erkaot, right? Erkaos, the prohibition to go to a non-Jewish court. Now, the question that faced the poskim starting in 1948 was, does the same prohibition exist to if one chooses to opt to go to a secular court, right? The civil courts, the civil courts in Israel, rather then go to the Bate Dinim. So if I asked you, I threw out the question, right, logically, and I asked you, does Erkoos...
If we take 1 minute, we can move to an upstairs room.
Yeah, move upstairs room. Okay, to quickly wrap up, to quickly summarize where we were. So, the Gemara in Gittin Pei Chesamid Beis says that there is a prohibition to go to non-Jewish courts because the pasuk says ve'elam mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem, and from that Chazal derashim two things: one, lifnehem lo lifnei avod ovdei kochavim, that you have to bring cases that you want to adjudicate in front of a bezdin of Jews, specifically mumchim, people with smicha, and not before non-Jews. We also learn a second prohibition from the same pasuk: ve'elam mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem below lifnei hediotos, from them, the mumchim, the people with smicha, with a tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu, and not stam Jews, people who do not have smicha. How do we function nowadays? As the Gemara says, through a mechanism known as shlichusayu, we are the agents of the original Besdin, but that's not our topic for today. So the question that faced the poskim in 48 till today was, assuming, as is the case, that the civil courts in Israel do not follow halacha, and they are not adjudicating according to the principles of halacha, does one violate the prohibition of Erkos if one goes to adjudicate civil matters in front of the Israeli secular courts? Now, logically, there are three possibilities. If I asked you, do the civil courts in Israel equal Erkos? So, three possibilities. Either...
yes, no, maybe.
Yes, no, maybe, right? So either it's yes, meaning it's equivalent, it's just Erkos, Shel Akum, and we'll come back to that in a minute, or no, but no could go in one of two directions. Either it's better than Erkos, meaning it's mutter, or it's worse than Erkos, right? It's worse than going to Erkos, Shel Akum, right? Those are the three logical possibilities. Yeah?
Quick question. What happens if the judge happens to be an Arab? Because Arabs are given equal rights as Jews.
Right. So right. The question would get even more complicated. Right. I mean, because then you would have to deal with both Akum and right. Possibly, we already have to deal with Hediotos, but we'll leave that aside because we always deal with Hediotos. Correct. That would make it even more complicated. But let's make it simpler for a second. Let's assume they're all Jews. Right. If it's a non-Jew, so then still Yesh Ladun, but we'll see. Right. This will all be relevant in a minute, but those are the three logical possibilities, right?
Worse.
What?
Why could it be worse?
Well, it could be worse because then you would... oh, why would... why could it be worse to go... ah, okay, so now why? So why would it be worse? So that's what we're going to have to see, and we're going to see that actually is the majority view in Poskim, but we'll see that in a minute, okay? So now, if I asked you... okay, so those are the three logical possibilities. Yeah, Joey?
When it says,
yeah.
That's all the
pasuk
said, right?
That's all. Elam ish batim asher tasim lefnehem.
So they learned
lefnehem
below lefnei avodei kochavim.
Yes.
Now, if we exclude everyone, basically, so what did I need that deal for? If tasim lefnehem means to exclusion of everyone, which is what I understood from you.
Right.
Right.
Well, it's more than just goyim. It's lefnehem. It's anyone who's not musmachim.
Right.
Right. Meaning it's Jews who are not musmachim or non-Jews.
Yes. So what do I need the deal for? If lefnehem means people who have smicha or their shlicha, what do I need lol lefnei kacham?
Dover Acher, it's true for opinion.
No,
Dover Acher, there are two things we learn from the same pasuk. But, I mean, Joey's correct. The diuk of the Gemara is lefnehem in front of Jews and no one else, which splits into two different things. The question that the poskim are going to deal with, and we'll see, especially in Rav Yaakov Ariel versus Rav Herzog, is going to be, what exactly is the nature of that drasha? Is it, in fact, that all the Gemara is really saying is lefnehem in front of musmachim? What does that mean? Not in front of anybody else. That means Jews who are not musmachim or non-Jews, because they can't have smicha, period. Right? In Echanami, that's all it's saying. It's not a diuk, it's just saying you have to give it to musmachim, therefore not everybody else, which, as we're going to see, is going to be the position of many poskim. According to Rav Herzog, it's not going to be. According to Rav Herzog, there is, in fact, a drasha going on here, a two-pronged drasha, but we'll see that. But the Rav poskim will pick up on exactly what you're picking up and saying, no, there's really one descriptive halacha going on here, lifnehem, velo, lifnei, x. Right? You have to give it to the musmacha, mimela, you can't give it to anybody else. Okay. Now, before we actually look at the positions, if I asked you intuitively, right, I would, my wife's chavrusas used to play this game, right, when they were learning Nida, right? If I gave you a list of poskim and I asked you to tell me, which posig is more likely to say, right, usser, which one's more likely to say mutter, right, just because you understand their trend of psak. Like, at some point you have a feeling of which direction poskim are going, especially within a topic, right? If you're learning, you know, my wife learned Nida for 3 years, right, at some point you get a feel for which direction poskim go in. So, if you're going to, so they would list it, they would try to figure out, okay, if we know that someone says usser, someone says mutter, we can often guess who's going to say what. Not because, you know, just because people have certain, you know, Darkei Psika. So if I asked you, I'm going to list a bunch of poskim now, okay? Chazon Ish was the first person I put here, right? Rav Herzog, right? First chief rabbi of Israel. Beit Hillel, right? Which is an organization of left-wing modern Orthodox / Dati Lumi rabbis in Israel. Professor Menachem Alon, the father of Mishpat Ivri. Rav Goren, right, who was the third Ashkenazi chief rabbi, right? Which of those poskim would you assume would say mutter? Which of those do you think would say usser? So Chazon Ish, mutter, usser? Usser. Better or worse? Equivalent or worse? Okay. Rav Herzog, first chief rabbi of Israel. Mutter?
Mutter.
Okay. Menachem Alon. Professor Menachem Alon.
Usser.
Usser. We'll see that one's that's not the case. Well, we'll see that some of these will be right, some of them are going to be very off, right? Rav Yaakov Ariel, current leading Chardal posek in Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Yeshiva Ramat Gan. Equivalent or worse?
Worse,
equivalent. Okay, so this is what surprised me about this sugya. So Chazon Ish, let's come back. Chazon Ish, what do you guess, right? Here, usser. Worse or equivalent?
Worse.
Okay. So the Chazon Ish, in fact, says it is usser, but the Chazon Ish says it's equivalent. Watch. Right? Source 2. Shashofet kol din v'din shal afan av lefi anirei lav zeu b'chlal pshara. If a judge is tasked with not adjudicating according to halacha, but according to his whim, right? People come and say, look, I don't need you to paskin according to halacha, I just want you to orchestrate a compromise. I want you to arbitrate. So that is mutter. That's what we call pshara. That's what we call compromise. V'nikara davar sh'azvim mekor mayim chayim lachsov barodu shvarim. And it's not clear when you come over to someone and say, look, I don't need you to be makmid kedasu kedin, I want you to come up with a fair compromise. If you say that, so you're not leaving the Torah. Avalim yaskimu al chukim. But let's say you would set up new laws, civil laws in Israel. Hare mechalim es haTorah. That's a violation of the Torah. Val zeh ne'emar asher tosim lifneihem lo lifnei hedyotos. And that's what we say, put in front of them, and not hedyotos, not non-mumchim. Ve'ein nafkusa bein ba lifnei einam Yisraelim u'bein Yisrael sheshofet al pi chukim beduyim. And there's no difference between whether you bring a court case to non-Jews, you bring it to Jews who are ruling based on false laws. And it's somewhat worse because they're giving up the laws of the Torah for laws of vanity, as opposed to a case where people just choose to agree to compromise. They're not setting up new laws, they're just agreeing to compromise. And if they'll force you to follow secular law, so then their decision, their adjudication will lead to theft. So the Chazon Ish clearly says it's usher to go to civil courts in Israel. This is a little bit difficult. Does he think it's equivalent to non-Jewish courts or worse?
Depends on the case.
Well, what does he say? Is it as bad or worse to go to non-Jewish courts?
Pshara, it's okay.
Oh, so if he says it's pshara, no, he says, so the background to it, he says if it's pshara, he says there's no difference. Right? He says if, he says in general there's a halacha called pshara. If you go to someone and you say, I want you to compromise, that's fine. But once you have a legal system which is based on new laws, so that's called erkos. And he says, and there's no difference between going to a non-Jewish court in Canada or going to a Jewish court, which is not running up yalacha, right? An Israeli civil court, they're equivalent halachically. Now, where does he get this notion there's a difference between pshara and adopting a new set of laws? So he quotes the Shudaran. I don't remember actually if he quotes the Shudaran or alludes to the Shudaran, but this is the Shuvah that's quoted often, which I put here in italics. here. He's dealing with what we'll see in a moment in number 4, where the Gemara assumes under certain circumstances it is mutter to set up courts which are not run by mumchem, at least for compromise. And the Ran there says that im kimlo lam bali din lildun lifnei goyim sharim. Shari Hishvu ad Yotos Lagoyim, Sham Lifnam Lagoyim, Lifneham Liv Lolifne ad Yotos. He says, look, if someone decides that they just want to arbitrate in front of non-Jews, so that's totally mutter. Because you just go, right? What difference does it make? You're allowed to choose a random Jew to arbitrate for you, you're allowed to choose a random non-Jew to arbitrate for you. Why not? Right, as long as you accept the compromise, it's mutter. So then why do we have a problem with going to non-Jewish courts? Why don't we just say that just like you're allowed to accept any random person to arbitrate for you, it's also mutter to not go to a non-Jewish court, right? Shouldn't that be mutter? We'll see in a moment why it's mutter to do that. But the assumption that he's working with is it is mutter to choose someone to arbitrate, not within a legal system. So why, just to get the principle down, without the Israeli court, just the principle of the matter. He says, why is it mutter to have someone arbitrate for you and not mutter to go to a non-Jewish court? So he says, say it by our kos nami name achil have kenemen alai abba of alena davar kain the mashe muskar be midrash sha osuke miyake munasam. So there's a difference. If you just go to someone who's going to arbitrate, so you're not saying that this arbitrator is God's gift to humanity, right? You just say, look, I don't have the patience, I don't want to hire lawyers, I don't want to go to Beis Din, it's not so much money, big deal, I don't want to get into all the fights of going to a course, I'm going to pick someone, we'll compromise, end of story, we're done. You're not saying that the court you're going to go to, or this arbitrator you're going to, is better or worse than the Torah. You're saying it's not worth going to Beis Din, so we'll compromise. But if you say, look, this is worth going to court over, but I'm going to the non-Jewish court, so then you're valuing the non-Jewish law over halacha, and that is the problem of Erkos. And the Chazon Ish says the same thing is true. Just 1 second, Joey. I see you. One second. Right? Same thing is true in Israel. Right, that if you choose, it's true that in theory you could compromise, but you can't tell me that when you go to the Israeli civil court that you're compromising. You're not. You're following civil law in Israel, which is not based on halacha. It is based on a combination of Ottoman law and British law and German law with a little bit of mishpat ivri sort of thrown into it. Right, but it's some sort of conglomerate of basically Western law. That's what it is. Right, so he says there's no difference, and if you were to go to there, so then in fact you're being machshev, you're giving significance to a court system which is not based on halacha. And he says that's a problem, just like going to a Canadian court. Yes, Joey?
So arbitration typically is not short. It's just an expedited process, and much less expensive process, but it's based on law.
Okay, so I'm not using how arbitration is used formally in law. I'm saying if I go to someone and say, compromise for us. So work out a compromise, exactly.
It's more like binding mediation.
Sure, binding mediation.
Whatever.
Right. I don't know if the. Yeah, no fine. Such, yeah. Whatever. Binding mediation.
That's
sure.
What we mean by pshara.
Yes, that's what we mean. That's what we mean by pshara, right? Pshara is wait, someone's. Fine. Mediating. Okay, it's not binding. Whatever. That's what pshara is. Okay. So the Chazon Ish says it's very simple, right? It is mutter to go to someone and ask him to mediate. It's not mutter to go to a non halachic court. The reason is, because if you go to a mediator, you're saying, look, it's not worth going to court. That's fine. You can say, I don't feel like going to court. You can't say, I'm going to go to court, but it's not going to be the court that represents halacha. That you can't do, because you're giving significance to a non-Jewish court. And the Chazon Ish says, the same problem is true of Israeli secular law, which, sof kol sof, is not halachic. Okay.
But it's even worse.
Well, he doesn't say that.
Well, he does. He says, should I read him?
That's the problem of Erkos in general, right? He's saying
it's the problem of Erkos. Is he referring?
The phrase he's using, as we'll see, is stolen from the discussions of Erkos, right? He's just saying, well, we'll see that. We'll come to that. Right? I'm starting with their positions to outline this. The phrase merimim es mishpatei Torah, mishpatei hevel, is the standard description of what it means when you leave halachic court and you go to non halachic court. That phrase is used equivalently. Correct. We will see. That is, in fact, that is the lashon of the Tanhuma, right? Which is nifsak in Shulchan Aruch. It's not like this is some random language pulling out. He says it's equivalent. It's Erkos is bad. Erkos is bad, so it's bad. But it's no worse. It's just as bad as going to a secular kosher. Right? Enough kusa. It's as bad. Happens to be very bad. Because going to Terkos is terrible, as we'll see in just a minute. But enough kusa, right? There's no difference. Okay. Now, who says it's mutter? So, the poskim who say it's mutter are few and far between. But as Joey knows, I have a few more on the list right now. But we'll start with the biggest advocate of saying it's mutter and mumlats and suggested that one should go to civil court in Israel, which is Menachem Alon. And this is not surprising. Professor Menachem Alon was the author of, and the father of as well, the author of the book and the father of the movement called Mishpat Ivri. Mishpat Ivri is an attempt to take halacha, draw out key principles, elucidate them in such a way that they can be implemented into the civil courts in Israel.
And was a Supreme Court Justice.
Right? He eventually became a Supreme Court Justice. Right? That's very important, but he's right now writing in Mishpat Ivri. I think when he wrote Mishpat Ivri, he wasn't yet a Supreme Court Justice. Now he's just writing Mishpat Ivri. And he writes like this, about the Chazon Ish. Tana zu bedavar kiyum israelich leirkos bedainut lefnei batei mishpat sheyoshvim bahem shoftim yudim hadanim shelo lefi halacha kshi nitened umushmad biyameihu mibiyameinu. The claim of the Chazon Ish that to go to a Jewish court which doesn't rule according to halacha is erkot tmuai. It is shocking. Laor hashinui hamuflag shechal bishmirat isur halichal erkaot shel goyim me'az betula shel haautonomia hashiputit ha'ivrit. He says because there's been so many changes to the court systems since we lost autonomy, when we lost Jewish autonomy, whatever it was, 1,500 years ago, there's been so many changes, it makes no sense in the modern Jewish state. Why? He says, Lo zu bilvad, shemeaz bitula shel autonomia zu, halcha virabta pniya lebatei mishpat shel medina, v'chol merchevei hagola ivrit. He said, first of all, Jews at all times and all places always went to the secular courts. I know that there's a law in the books called Erkaos, but people didn't listen to it. And then he goes to documents, country after country, where people were violating the halacha. Whether that's a raya that it's mutter or not, I'm not sure, but he at least thinks that's a raya. But he says more than that. The Rabbanim figured out a way of dealing with it. He said, look around you. America, Canada, England. How many from Jews do you see going to secular court? A lot. So he says, really, you're telling me that the Isser is in full force? He says, in the whole diaspora. So he says, first of all, I'm not convinced that we should take this halacha so seriously, because kanirah, that's not minhag ha'olam for the last 1,500 years. I don't know if that's a raya, or it's just a raya, if I remember when we had a shir on Erkos in Smicha in YU, I think it was Rabbi Reis, the Rosh HaBezdin, just said that there was a raya of how many people violated halacha, or were never educated about the fact that Erkos is an actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So,
like
what?
Like
right. And therefore it's a mitzvah for you to go and tell people that this is an actual Isser. So now I was Makai my mitzvah, right? This is a real halacha, possibly Daraisa. Okay. It says, Yoser Mitmuahu, but it's even worse. Efo lalo tana shel iser halicha l'erkaot b'keshel levatei mishpat yehudiyim shel medina ivrit dafka. But it's worse to talk about our courts. Asher ba mishpat ivri hu ben bayit o lefachot oreach matzui, where halacha is either a ben bayit, he lives in the civil law, or at least he's a common guest. Meaning, if even assume that there is an Isser HaKos to go to Canadian courts or American courts, which, again, most poskim do. He says, okay, but Israeli courts are better, because it's true that they incorporate a lot of British law and Ottoman law, but they also incorporate a lot of halacha and Torah values. So it can't possibly be as bad as going to secular courts. So far, the Chazon Ish doesn't totally surprise me. Okay, going to civil court is our HaKos. Menachem Alon, the author of Mishpat Ivri, says, no, it's mutter to go to civil courts. Also doesn't surprise me. What surprised me in this sugya is that kim'at pe'echad, the poskim which were most opposed to Mishpat Ivri, wasn't the Chazon Ish, for sure wasn't Menachem Alon, was the Dati Lumi Poskim, the religious Zionist Poskim in Israel. They were the ones who not just saw this as an equivalent Isser, but as an Isser, as we'll see in Rav Herzog, Elef Pe'amim Garua. Right? 1,000 times worse than going to the American or Canadian courts. So why is that? And this surprised me, but I think educationally for me, this pointed to something very important. So why is it? So here, let's go to the sources. Okay? So, we saw source 1, which is the source of Erkot. Lifneihem v'lo lifnei Akum v'lo lifnei Hedyotos. The primary source that people try to point to say that maybe it's Mutter is the Gemara in source number 4. The Gemara says as follows. Mai zeh borer lo echa v'zeh borer lo echa. There's a mechanism in courts known as Zabla, Zeh Bar Lo Echad, Zeh Bar Lo Echad. Each litigant chooses a judge to mediate, and then the two judges pick a third judge, and the three, whatever, the tribunal of three mediate. So he says, Bitlasa Sagi, right? Does that mean it's a sufficient with three? He says, Achi Kamar, Kishizeh Bar Lo Bezdin Echad, Zeh Bar Lo Bezdin Echad, Shneem Bar Lo Hen Od Echad. Right? That's how we get the three. One, one plus one. Va filu love matzi ma'akev. Va amar elazer lo shanu elamalva. Va love kofanos avidan biiro. So then the Gemara had gotten into a discussion of who can prevent you from going to a mediation as opposed to going to court. So we get into a discussion with love or malva. Without getting to the details, the Gemara concludes, ki da amar Rabbi Yochanan berkos shevesuri yashanu achanami berkos shevesuri yashanu. What's the case where it's mutter to go to these tribunals? Right, and there's no problem whatsoever. Erkos Shebisuria. And what was Erkos Shebisuria? Erkos Shebisuria were, they were mediation courts, if that's a contradiction in terms, that was set up on a consistent basis in the diaspora, where hedyotos, where non-mumchim, used to mediate cases for the Jews who lived there. And the Gemara says that that is mutter. Erkos Shebisuria is perfectly permitted. So here we have one Gemara which says that you aren't allowed to bring a court case not in front of non-Jews and not in front of Hidyotos, not in front of non-Mumchim, people without Smicha. And you have another Gemara which says you can. It's called Erkos Shebesuria. So how do you distinguish between them? So we already saw one attempt to distinguish, which was the Ran. And this becomes pretty much normative in Poskim, which is, it's very simple. Erkos is Aser if you set up a parallel court system. Erkos Shebesuria isn't a court system, it's mediation. And the problem with Erkos is that you're validating another legal system that you can't do. But you can say, it's not worth schlepping to a Bezdin, so let's just mediate. And look, we have no mumchem here, so what are we going to do? We'll just pick people, we're going to mediate, and they'll compromise, and they won't try to set up a new legal system. They'll do what they think is fair, and that's fine. And the reason that's the case is because the problem of Erkos is that you're validating an alternative legal system. In mediation, you are not. So Rov Poskim say, therefore, that what would define Usur Erkos versus permitted mediation is whether or not those people are trying to set up a new legal system or they're just mediating. But what would happen if the mediators would decide, well, look, we may not be experts in halacha, but I went to law school. I went to Osgood. I went to Harvard. I went to Yale. So I'm going to mediate, but I'm going to mediate. I'll pay the American or Canadian law. So mutter or aser? What? Ah, so some post. So the Ran would tell you what? What would the Ran say? The Ran would say aser, because you're choosing another legal system. But there's a svarat to say not. Why would you say not?
Because the whole thing is another legal system. It's just mediation.
Correct.
No, it's not mediation here.
Right, so it's somewhere in between. So the Meiri says something which is a little bit unclear, and he says in 5, Erkos Shebesuria, Shaloha Yubikin Bedin Torah. They didn't know Torah. Eladan La Omedat. They would mediate based on their own svara and their own logic. Uvichukim Venimusin, and based on laws and customs.
But here it's clear not mediation. It says done.
They were done. So
done.
What?
Done.
Ah. So the Meiri, now the Meiri seems to imply, though it's not totally clear, that if these mediators would choose to use another legal system, that might even be mutter. And they're right now they're judging, right? Because they're adjudicating according to another legal system. So how would that be mutter? So some people point out, and the Me'iri is very complicated to parse. So some posts can point out that perhaps the Me'iri doesn't mean this on a consistent basis. He means it ad hoc. Meaning, once in a while, you go to mediators, they're allowed to say, let me look at American or Canadian law, and they use that as a guide. But if they were to set up an alternative court, which would consistently follow another legal system, that would be a problem. But if you have a one-time mediation, so why shouldn't you be allowed to use Canadian or American law as your guide? But if you were doing it consistently, that would be, right, that would be a problem.
Kasha Surya seems to be consistent.
Other people say, no, maybe the Me'iri really thinks that it's mutter to set up an alternative system. Then why would it be mutter? So they think, based on, and this is, again, the Me'iri is a little bit ambiguous, but they point to a line later in the Me'iri where he seems to imply the reason it's mutter is because kiblu aleihem. Right? That perhaps if you accept them as mediators, so it's true they're judging according to Canadian or American law, but what defines the difference between a mediator and a court? Where they got their power from. Right? Because if you bind yourself to mediation, it's true that now it's binding because of the contract that you signed up. You signed a binding mediating agreement, whatever that is. Okay, but you're saying it's not. Well, this is arbitration.
This is
arbitration. You signed a binding arbitration agreement. Okay, so it's true that they're following American or Canadian law or Israeli law, but where's their power coming from? From you? Is that really a court? Well, no, it's arbitration. Right, so some posts can point to this Me'iri as a difference and saying, no. The Me'iri actually thinks it's legal. It's totally fine to follow a different legal system as long as you treat it as arbitration and you don't treat it as law. And even if it looks the same, the fact that its power comes from you makes all the difference because you're not validating that system as a legal system. You're validating it as a source, a guiding source for arbitration.
So by extension, court system that's appointed by a democratic government.
Correct. So the logical extreme, this Me'iri would say, that one should be mutter l'chadchila to go to the Canadian courts, American courts, without a heter kavos v'chule. Right? If you take that read of the Me'iri, that is in fact would be yotze.
What would ever be us for now?
What? According to the, if you took that read of the Me'iri, nothing. Right? You couldn't go to, right, exactly. Right.
Why would the American Canadian, you don't choose to go to it, you're forced to.
Well, no, because the two Jews, if the two Jews agree to go, they don't have to go. Right? This is not a criminal. We haven't gotten to criminal. We're still talking civil. So you choose to go, right? You don't have to choose to go, but by choosing to go, you're doing the same thing as choosing. Why is that different than choosing mediation? Yeah.
A little bit off topic, but still, mediator is one person. Right.
So they bring that up. They assume not, because at the end of the day, you're choosing three for whatever. Right? Meaning, yes, it looks like a bezdin, but they assume that that's fine. But one would probably be even better, because then it looks like mediator. But the problem is that there is a case where bezdin can judge al piyachad also, because you can have a yachid mumchet. So the post can have a long discussion of that, but that's way too complicated for right now. But yes, the post can bring up the possibility that one might be better. Or not, because of that category. Okay.
Just to be clear, if somebody sues another individual, according to either both shitas in the Me'iri, you still couldn't go to a Canadian.
Well, if someone sues you,
then they're forcing me to go to a Canadian.
Well, they might have violated the issue. You might be able to go. But yes, if they try to force you in a Hanami, right? If they even according to Me'iri Kanireh, if you don't want to go and the other person forces you to go, right? You originally said we're going to go to Bez Din, right? And then he says, no, I'm suing you in secular court. So then, yes, he's forcing you to come. Presumably, even according to Me'iri, you would violate Erkot. That would be a case. Presumably, would be also even according to this interpretation of the Me'iri. Okay, fine. But the majority of poskim didn't take the position of the Me'iri. They really did say that the difference is, as the Ran said, the difference is mediation versus setting up a legal system. And you can't pretend that you're mediating or you're arbitrating when you're setting up an alternate legal system. And they say, when you set up an alternate legal system, that is a horrible, horrible isser. What type of isser is it? So now let's quickly look through sources. You look at the Rambam. Kol hadan b'dayanei akum b'erkos shelohen. Right? You go to a non-Jewish court. Alfa pishayu dineim k'dinei Yisrael. Even they're following the Torah. Harizeh rasha. You're evil. Kilu chire v'gidei v'hirim yad b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? That's where the Chazon Ish got his line from. You are a blasphemer. and you have rebelled against the Torah. Shneimar ve'elam mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem lifneihem v'lo lifnei akum lifneihem v'lo lifnei hadyotos ha'isa yara akum takifa. But if the non-Jews are in charge of us, ubaldino ilam, and your person suing you is a powerful person, and you can't get what you are owed by going to Jewish court, first ask the Jewish courts. If the person doesn't want to come to the Jewish court, you get what's called a heter akot. The court says, okay, we have no power, so take him to secular court, and then you're allowed to bring him. Then you can take him to secular court, what we call a heter akos. This is brought down to Shulchan Aruch as well, in 7. Kol amam midayan sheinu hagun veinu chacham b'chachmas haTorah veinu ra'o li'os dayan avo bishukulo machmadim v'yish batovos acheros ha'reze she'amido over below. As if you set up a judge, even if he's the nicest person in the world, right? Kulo machmadim, but he's not smart, he doesn't know Torah, so you violate a los asay. And the Ramah comments, v'asur lahamid amaharet dayan al smach shish Shall kolpam kocham. You can't set up an amaretz and tell on the condition that it'll always ask the rabbi. But if you have a city where there is no one who can judge al pi halacha, they're all amei aretz, so what do? Shel yechul ifnei erko shel akum, and you can't go to the non-Jewish court. Mimanim atov mechacham shebahem ledas anshe eir. You pick the best people around. Afal pi shein erum ledayanim, even if they can't be judges. Vekeven shekablu alem bin eir ein echad yechul lefaslan. Once they're agreed to, so then you can invalidate mechol sibur yecholin lekabel em bezdin shein erum. And you're allowed to accept such a collection of people to mediate for you when you don't have access to judges. Now, what's the nature of this issue? You know, we'll skip for a second of Herzog. So now if we look again at Shulchan Aruch in 10, and then we'll go from here 10 through 12. So Shulchan Aruch in 10. Asur ladun bifnei dayanei ovdi kocham ve'erkoshlam. You can't go to non-Jewish courts. Perish, Moshev kavua l'sareim ladun bo, meaning, right, set courts, not mediators. Afilu bedin shedonim bedinei Yisrael, even if they follow Jewish law. Vafilu nisratzu shnei balei dinim ladun lefneihem. Also, even if you both agreed, still aser. V'kol abali don bifneihem. Areze rasha kiluchire v'gide v'hir miyad b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom. And if you do, you're evil, you're a blasphemer, and you've rebelled against the Torah. And the Rama adds, "V'yesh biyad bezdin lenadoso lachrima." We should put you in cherem. Ad sheyisalek yad over the yuchavim el chavero, until you retract and don't enforce the law, the non-Jewish law, on your friend. V'kena you machrimin hamachzik biyad aholech lefnei over the yuchavim. And they used to standardly put people in cherem if they went to secular court. V'afilo eino don lefnei over the yuchavim shekafo yidei over the yuchavim shiamod imel ledin yisrael roy lematcha alamud. And even if you use the secular authorities to force someone to come to Jewish court, that's also not right. And if you do go to secular court, and then you go to Jewish court, so yesham shein nizkakin lo, yesham nizkakin lo, im lo shigarim hefzid l'baldino v'nei kochavim, it's a machlok, is whether you're ever, the Jewish courts will ever pay attention to you anymore, or you're done. You went once, and now you're out, we don't pay attention to you. Masvara rishona nira li ikar, I think you never pay attention to anymore. Once you've done it, you are out. Right? So this is an extremely chamur isra, as the post can bring it. Why? Why is it so bad? Why is it rebellion against God Himself to go to a secular court system? So they all point to number 11, the Midrash Tanchuma. Lifnehem v'lo lifnei akum minayin lebalei dinin shel Yisrael sheyesh lam din zeim zeh sheyodim shakum donano so hadin kedeni Yisrael sheasur liz dakeg lifnehem. How do you know that you aren't allowed to go to these courts? Talmud lomar sher tasim lifnehem lifnei Yisrael v'lo lifnei kutim shekol shemi shemeniach dayane Yisrael. Anyone who leaves the Jewish judges v'holeich lifnei akum kafar b'kadosh baruch hu. First you denied God, then you denied His Torah. Because what does the Torah say? That our rock is not like their rock. Our Torah, our God, is better than theirs. And if you choose to give up Bezin and go to the secular court, what are you implicitly saying? Our God is no better than theirs. Our laws are no better than theirs. And that's quoted lahalacha. You look in the Sma in 12, commenting in Siman Chavav and Shulchan Aruch. Says Afilu b'davar amuter l'mevedina d'avshei. He says, look, you know how bad this issur is. Even if it's a halacha where we say mutter leave dina lenafshe, you're allowed to be a vigilante, you're allowed to carry out justice yourself. If you choose, you would say, look, in that case, if I'm allowed to be a vigilante according to halachas, why shouldn't I be able to go to the non-Jewish court? No. You still can't go to the non-Jewish court. Why? Since you went to another court system, you're showing it, you're making it as if the Torah isn't true because you're choosing another system. So you take the Medrash, you take the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, the Sma. The poskim seem to be saying one thing very clearly. The reason Erkos is usur, and there's a reason, the reason there's a difference between mediation and going to a non-Jewish court, is because mediation just means they don't feel like going to court. Going to secular court means I care about that court, I think what they have to say is valuable, and more valuable than going to the Jewish court. And as the, most of the poskim will say, Rabbi Yaakov Ariel here is relatively clear on it. The reason that the therefore we learn the same from the same words, coming back to Joey's point, that it's usher to go to non-Jews and it's usher to go to non-mumchim is the same reason. Because who cares whether you're going to Jews who don't have the tradition ish mi pish from Moshe Rabbeinu, who are the only ones allowed to judge, or you're going to non-Jews. The point is not that you're going to non-Jews, it's that you're leaving the system that God set up. And I don't care whether you're going lifnei hadyotos, you're going lifnei Akum. The point is, Meirim Yad B'Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu, the system that God set up is you go to the Dayanim, or Ish Mipish from Moshe Rabbeinu, and otherwise you're throwing out the Torah. Okay? So that is the basic, the Kavan, the Poskim, the line of thought in Poskim of why you can't go to secular courts. Why there's an Israel coast. Okay. So now, coming back to our question. The Chazon Ish had said that going to a secular court in Israel is equivalent to going to a non-Jewish court. Why? Why equivalent?
Because it doesn't follow
strictly. Doesn't follow halacha, period. That's the whole problem. How do I know that it's not about going to non-Jews? Because from the same word we learn, lo lefnei akum v'lo lefnei hadyotos. Right? You can't go to Jews without smicha, and you can't go to non-Jewish courts. It's the same prohibition. The point is you can't abandon strict Torah law. So it's equivalent. It's not worse, it's not better, it just is the same thing. Menachem Alon, professor, rabbi, doctor, whatever, Menachem Alon, everyone refer to him, right? Professor, justice, Menachem Alon. Why is it better? Why is it better? Because you're not Meirim Yad B'Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu, because it's peppered with Jewish law.
What's
right?
The reality of that?
What?
What's the reality of
that? That it's...
How much of Mishpat do you agree exactly?
Well, as he said, I don't know if you'd say it's a ben bayit, it is a lefachot oreach matzui. It is a guest. It's true. If you look through court cases, you'll find that Povisham, right. there was a famous case in Tchumen recently where they just published the court case where they quoted, right, they have an extensive quote from Hilchos Shmiras Halashon, right, on in libel law. Right, so it does happen. Yeah. What? Yeah, it happens all the time. But this was, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Now, I was going to argue that in some ways, Israeli courses is even worse than secular system because the law changes every other day.
Oh, we'll come back to that in a minute. We'll come back to that in a minute. Okay. Well, that would actually make it better. It's not Nimusin, it's not Chok. But fine, we'll come back to that. We're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to that. We're going to come back. Trust me, we're going to think.
What he's saying is, but it's worse with the best. Not only does the law change every day, there's no system at all.
The Israeli court.
No, any best.
Okay, he said the Israeli court.
I know.
Okay. Okay, we're going to come back to this in a second. We're going to come back. Okay. But now, okay. But so far we haven't seen anyone who says it's worse. But now think about it. Now that we've seen the basic makoros, so I ask you again, who should say it's worse? So we all intuitively would have said the Chazon Ish, right? If anyone was going to say it's worse, it was the Chazon Ish. But is that true? The Chazon Ish says it's equivalent, but think about it. Why does the Chazon Ish say it's equivalent?
Because there's no difference between
the Israeli court and American, because he doesn't recognize the state. For who is Erkos going to be worse in Israel than it is anywhere else? For Herzog, why? Because in his worldview, the state has religious value and therefore should be following Torah. According to the Chazon Ish, of course, it's not following Torah. It has no significance. It's no different than Canada. So it's no different than Canada. So just like you can't go to Canada, you can't go to the Israeli court. But for Herzog, for Rav Yaakov Ariel, for religious Zionist Poskim, who the state has a place in their thought, and it should be following Jewish law, and it isn't. It's even worse, because if ever there was something which is Meirim Yad B'Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the first chance we had to set up a real Jewish court system, and we didn't do it. That's a real slap in the face to Torah. And if you look, for example, in 8 and 9, Rav Herzog says, Ulidati elef pa'amim garua. It is 1,000 times worse than someone going to a secular court. Than when the Jews here in their land are going to are following secular law. Do we have no God? He says, not about Avodah Zarah. How do I know? Because the Tajbeit said it was also to go to a Muslim court. They're not over the Avodah Zarah. It's not about Avodah Zarah. It's about turning your back on the Torah. Muslims aren't idol worshippers. But still, they don't recognize the Torah. And for sure they don't believe in Chazal. If you go to their courts, so you're valuing their courts, you're nullifying the Torah. The Jews are in Eretz Yisrael. You're abandoning the Torah and you're following a foreign law. I don't care that the court system doesn't claim to be divine. You're not valuing an idol. Still, you're kicking God's Torah. As it was given over, you are kicking out the whole Torah from Moshe till today. Who can handle the agony, the agonizing pain of that decision? Now, it happens to be that Rav Herzog himself didn't think that this was the... Despite what he says here, he doesn't think it's equivalent to Erko Shel Akum. Because Rav Herzog uniquely thought that there was actually two prohibitions. There's going to Erko Shel Akum, and then there's going to Jews who aren't mumchem. Now this, is it Hedyotos? Not really. Is it Erko Shel Goyim? According to Rav Herzog? Not really. So he comes up with this formulation in 9 that... I just put a quote from... it is a fair quote of him, but it's from Shuchman's article. He said, "Kazavarei Herzog al batei mishpat ela she'enam erkol shel goyim sharei chavrei miyudim." They're not really goyim because they're Jews. Im ki yefshar lekrosim batei din shel Yisrael b'muvan amiti hamikari shel shem zeh. But it's not a Jewish court either. Kivishu bechazal b'poskim ela erkaot shel Yehudim. I'll call them whatever that means. Erkaot shel Yehudim. But his point is that he still thinks it's worse, and you find it even more in... if you look in 14, in Rav Yaakov Ariel, like I said, he's a current leading posek in the Dati Lumi world. And I'm not going to read the whole article, but I gave it to you so you can look through parts of it. But just listen to the pain in the first paragraph. He says, "Achad ha'bayot ha'koavot bioter l'shocharei ha'Torah b'dinat Yisrael, hi mamado ha'nachut shel mishpat ha'Torah b'Yisrael." One of the most painful issues for anyone who cares about Torah is the low status of Torah law. "Ha'mishpat ha'rishmi ha'mukar b'medina hu o nachri o Yisraeli." The law is either not Jewish or Israeli. "Ha'murkav michukei amim shonim," which is just a conglomerate of secular, of other nations laws, of alachas koalitzioni who mechil po visham gam gamas even beruach hashulchan aruch. He said because of some pressure from the coalition, so they were forced to throw in some Torah, but they don't care about Torah. The leading powers don't care about Torah. Ulam ruchama kalit shal mishpat v'roshuftav zara l'ruach haTorah. The spirit of the law is against the Torah. Chumrani ha'isur lizdakek l'erkoda Yisraeli or ha'kayamot l'chadra l'toa ha'tzibur ha'dati ha'rachav. But the problem with this isser hasn't sunk in to the Jewish, to the religious Zionist community. Ha'savur l'tumo, they think innocently she'dina d'malchusa tofes gam b'mikre kazeh, that because of dina d'malchusa you can go to the civil courts. Yisei remizos mechoser mudaot l'chumrani ha'noseim mutzagim b'nei Torah mudaim lo kikitzoniim, and those people who say it's a problem are seen as extremists, as if they were anti-Zionists. He said their inclination to give value to the secular government is true, but that is what causes it to be such a problem. He says, "Medina Yisrael, ki medina toshel am Yehudi, min aroi sheishlot ba mishpat evri amikori ledorotav." Because it is the Jewish court, the Jewish country, it should follow Torah. And now he says something which I think is very powerful. He says, "Kishem shein ala halod ala dar efsharut shel medina ivrit lo safa ivrit." So, what would you have said if, when we were setting up Israel, they said the language shouldn't be Hebrew? You would have said, "Ah, fine, fine," because the holy government said it's true. They got rid of Shabbos or Yontif. Or they didn't have the law of return. They didn't value Jews. They didn't value Hebrew. They didn't value the Jewish calendar. So how can you be so happy, so sanguine about the fact that you have an Israeli society without Jewish law? And later in the paragraphs he says, right, what would happen if the education system was secular? Should a religious person have to send his kids to the secular education systems because they're affiliated with the government? To be a religious Zionist doesn't mean to say the government is the government, God gave us a gift, and now whatever they do is fine, is tov v'yashar. It's to strive for actually integrating Torah into society. And the fact that Torah isn't is as bad as not having Hebrew, or not having Torah, or not having Shabbos, not having Chol Kashvut. So you see that ironically, it's the once you've built it up, it's the poskim who care and believe that there's value to the state who are so bothered by the problem of Erkot. And the rest of the piece, he builds it up, and he points out again that the fundamental isser of Erkos is kfira, is denying the validity of Torah. And that's why he thinks that, again, there's no difference between going to Goyim or going to Hedyotas. The point is you're not going to the Torah, and that problem was particularly problematic in Israel. So now if we just summarize what we've seen. Right? If the isser of Erkos means you're turning your back on the Torah. So, if you think that it hasn't turned its back on the Torah because it peppers it with Torah, so then you would say it's not a problem, like Professor Alon, like Justice Alon. If you think that the problem is that you're turning back on the Torah system and you value the state and you think it should reflect Torah, so it's even worse than going to a secular court. And if you aren't machshiv the state at all, so then it's no worse and no better. It's the exact same thing as going to Canadian law. So the Chazon Ish says it's no different. Rav Yaakov Ariel, Rav Herzog, and others saying no, it's worse. So now, a few final points, and most of it I've given to you to read. So now, is there anyone who is Makil within the classic rabbinic world? Okay? Because for the most part, the people who are Makil are in the Mishpat Ivri world. Menachem Alon, Chaim Cohn, and others. Okay. So, here, it's a little bit murky. So, in 17, I gave you, and you can read it yourself, Rav Asher Weiss has a series of kulot where he thinks that Dina de Malchusa does apply in Israel, and therefore in certain circumstances there is no problem of going to secular courts in Israel because of Erkot. How far he took it is not clear in that tshuva. There are a bunch of shmuot floating around in the world of what he says in private, but he's never written it down, and he's never said it publicly. So, Rav Asher Weiss seems to have some sort of makel position. What exactly he says is not totally clear. In this piece in Truman, he does, in the end of the day, side with the Chazon Ish. that fundamentally our code is a problem, and yet he does seem to say that under, for some purposes it's not a problem. So where exactly he falls is unclear. I emailed out on the Gush Rabbinic list what people, what Meirban, Rav Lichtenstein, and Rami Tal said. So one of the Ramim sent back, and I have no corroborating evidence for this, that he remembers asking Rav Lichtenstein once, and Rav Lichtenstein said it was mutter. He doesn't remember why, except that there was some Me'iri involved. So my guess is that he read the Me'iri that we saw at the beginning. Again, no corroborating evidence. The way some of the poskim did, that as long as you view it as deriving power from you, which in a democratic state it does, so then it's no problem. Because it's not coercive in that sense. You've accepted the government on yourself, and therefore it gives value.
So would that be just in Israel or anywhere?
Presumably that would be everywhere. Presumably that would be everywhere. Correct. That's far. Now again, I have no corroborating evidence except for a one-line email from one of the Ramim, which I happen to trust him, but again, I don't. He didn't fully remember what Lichtenstein said. But Mitzad Sheni, someone emailed me just this morning, another one of the Ramim, that Rav Amital was so convinced of the standard religious Zionist position that in the 70s and 80s, he forbade any Gush guy from becoming a lawyer in Israel, because Mimela, you're going to violate Lifnei Iver of Erkos. Right? So. What? Yeah, but you're being involved in danger. And then Rabbi Ilan Mazer told me this morning that Rav Hadari still tells people that in Hakotel. But apparently after the 80s, Rav Amital stopped saying it. And the Ram who told me wasn't sure whether no one was listening or he changed his mind. I have no idea. Now. Rav Goren, in a series of letters, which articles in Hatzofeh, which are published in Hatzukah le First Vali Hatzukah le Medinat Yisrael of Rav Herzog, seems to also imply that there's room to be Mekil. But if you read it, it's very unclear whether he's Mekil to go to Israeli secular courts, or he thinks it would be mutter to have secular courts or non-rabbis running courts which would follow the laws of the Torah. It's very unclear what's going on there. You can look in 16. I gave you a recent tshuva which came out from Beit Hillel, which is like on the left fringe of the religious Zionist world, where even they say it's aser, or at least l'chatchila aser, to go, but they know that maybe there's room to make it based on Rav Neri and Rav Goren, but they're not really sure what Rav Goren and Rav Neri actually said, because the pieces are very ambiguous. To the extent that they say it's mutter, again, it's based on this Me'iri Svara. It's also based, and I hear I gave you Shuchman's article on several other things, which right, your channel will be talking about in 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, I forget what it is, where another possible model is that Rav Kook said that the Israeli court system, or the government, gets the power of Melech. So it could be that it's mutter midine Melech. What? Yes. Yes, it's a tshuva. It's a tshuva in Das in Dat Kohen, an explicit tshuva.
I think he said it. Pre-state.
What?
He thought before the state.
I mean, he was already anticipating. He's saying, if we accept a democratic state, it will have the power of Melech, right? So they say, oh, so then it would be mutter. Now, the standard position in religious Zionism post is that's not the case, because as they note, Erkot seems to be an issue of Isser v'Heter rather than Choshen Mishpat, and a king isn't allowed to go against Isser v'Heter. He's allowed to change Choshen Mishpat, but not Isser v'Heter. But setting up an alternative court system is dafka in Yordea, like Isser, not a Choshen Mishpat Isser. So that may not work, but some poskim seem to think it does. Two last points I would make is as follows. Even the poskim who think that we should set up Jewish courts in Israel are fully aware of the fact that halacha as it exists today could not handle a modern state. So what's the solution? So Rav Herzog, who as we saw was like the who waved the banner, who said we should follow halacha and not secular law, said, okay, but I understand that halacha isn't sufficient as it exists now because it's been frozen for 1,500 years. Therefore, there's one mechanism which we have, and that's called takanot. We have no choice. Right? If I'm serious about setting up a rabbinic court system that can deal with the modern state, I must also be ready to make takanos. And therefore, he had his volumes in which he suggests different takanos that you have to make if you are serious about setting up a Torah system that will work in 2016, or when he's writing in 1948.
What's an example of the fact that...
For example, he thinks that we should make a takana that you could believe psule edos bisman hazeh. For example. Right? Because what else are you going to do, right?
Yeah.
Or, as Goren said, you have to set up ones that will reflect shivyonut, right? Equality between Jews and non-Jews, because you can't have a modern democratic state that's going to have recognition in Israel if you run al pi halacha, which is distinguish between Jews and non-Jews. You can't do it. And if we want recognition in the international community, you have to set up takanos that will waive those differences, at least in the current climate. So the significant takano, not like little takano, like very significant takano. And the last point I'll make is that so far I've been talking all about civil law. What about criminal law? So here, the situation is very different because, bikitsur, criminal law, the halacha is that you're allowed to give it over to tuvei ha'ir, right, to the leaders, as long as there is haskama from Adam Chashuv, and maybe even without haskama from Adam Chashuv. Rav Herzog, who's the first chief rabbi, and all the religious Zionist postmen basically followed him, said, look, we want there to be Beis Din, but please, please don't leave us with criminal law. Take care of it. We don't want to touch it. And therefore, there, Dafka, the postmen say, it's mutter lechatchila to leave it in the hands of the Israeli court system because the rabbis are just not equipped to handle it, and we don't want to. But the second we said that, it became mutter lechatchila to go. I'm sorry, I meant that to be the last point, but there's one last point, which Rabrovsky sent me, which is that the reality on the ground in Israel is that it's not only rabbis who think that people should go to Beis Din, it's also the Israeli court system who begs people to go to Beis Din. Because in Israel, the Bavli Din are actually built into the court system. They actually have structure and legal power. And the Israeli court system is overworked beyond belief to the point where, as I mentioned to Joey, one of the Supreme Court justices told me that the Supreme Court in Israel hears, guess how many cases a year? Considering the American one hears about 400. And we're a country of 320 million versus 7 million. How many court cases do you think they hear in Israel? 10,000. So, to give you an idea of how overworked they are, they're begging for people to go to Beis Din under the law known as Chok HaBoreiut. So, they also want it. So, but I think the real educational lesson for me from this whole sugya is, again, whether you pass on the Chazon Ish that it's equivalent, do you pass on like the religious Zionist poskim, it's worse, or like the poskim who say that it's mutter, possibly Rav Goren, possibly Rav Lichtenstein, Professor Alon, Chaim Cohn, etc. It doesn't neatly fit into Haredi opposed to the state, religious Zionist with the state. It's much more subtle because it's specifically the religious Zionism of Rav Herzog that led him to oppose it so strongly. And what for me was educational about it was that, right, my original alignment of Postkin was off, because in fact it was those who don't recognize it, they may not support it, but they're also not going to oppose it vehemently. But those who think there should be a better option because we're in an important period in Jewish history are specifically the ones that see this as such a violation of what could have been. The post now again, some Postkin are so invested in the state working that they go in the opposite direction and say, you know what, I will find room for it to be mutter, like Rav Goren and the like, and there are models for that. But it's not like being a religious Zionist means you have to support everything the state does, because it's a mix of recognizing the value of the state as it is and recognizing the value of the state as it could be. And Eretz Yisrael is one of those cases where you happen to see there's a window into the eyes of Poskim of what halacha should look like. So that's just my skira. Again, I can't possibly poskin, especially since there's this position of Mori Varabi floating around that I can't pin down. I couldn't poskin an issue this big bechlal, but for sure, with the Rochelstein's position floating around, I have no idea what to say. But that's just a skira of the types of issues that people grapple with in Israel and how people's view of the state really affects how they view the halachic system as it exists today.